Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
God bless you.
For you today. I see that Xiao Fang is in the Buddhist library. Yeah. So at this point in time, is the library open for programs in the morning already? Probably so. Siwin is also in the library. Looks like they are sitting, I think, opposite each other. Maybe, on the same table. Yeah, because I recognize the two background. I'm sure some students are wondering, like, hey, how come we are not back in the Buddhist library? So the simple reason being, in the past few weeks, the cluster situation is a bit volatile. So decided not to go back and forth. When it's a bit more stable, then we go back. Yeah. Prefer to have like one whole month there. Yeah, or either online or at the Buddhist library, and not just keep on switching, a bit disruptive. Yeah. So let me see who is new with us for SGC. Let me look through the list. My sister and family, Choi Kwan has joined us before, right? At SGC. Helen has joined us before. Valerie, I think, joined before. Swapping looks quite familiar. I joined before. Then Ricky May. And then our dear Sai Kiang. The hair can't quite grow out. Then Lao Ma. Then Alvin, looking smart. Lock John. Finally not in the office. Tunjot, have you joined us at the Buddhist library before?
No.
No, huh? Okay. So would you like to, can you introduce yourself? How do you get to know about this SGC?
It's actually for my sister who needs.
Okay. It seems like you have introduced before it.
Yeah.
For SGC, huh?
Yes. That was the second time I joined.
Second time, no wonder I was like, the background story is the same.
Same person.
Yeah. But anyway, welcome again. To join, sorry. How about every time I come ask me the same question? Okay, now we have Siwin, we have Danny. Danny have introduced before, right? Yeah, and then that day he say, this is don't know the first time or second time he saw me. That day he said the third time. In person. And then Sing Ling, and then Quack, how are you?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you put the phone on the flat on the table or on the floor?
No, on the sofa chair. Because I'm charging.
I see. Yeah. Are you okay?
Okay na. A bit giddy only.
A bit giddy.
Giddy. Yeah.
Are you not eating enough?
Maybe.
Maybe then we must send some food over.
No. Is that my tummy can't eat it's not that.
Your tummy can't eat. Your tummy can't digest. Your tummy because don't eat one.
I think gastric or what, no? Because I got pain in stomach.
I've been saying that I want to visit you, but you keep on saying don't need. Not yet, until one day I visit you, then is the week, you know. Huh? Yeah. I don't want to visit you only when it's the week, huh?
Everybody also like that. Week then come.
No, no, doesn't have to be. Can be a visit before the week.
It's like that, no? Every time.
This is the sad state of human relation.
Correct. Right?
Correct, Samo. Yeah, because of people like you, lah. People want to visit you. Say, no need.
Because nowadays it's like that. What? When people die, then they come. What? Or else they won't come. What?
Not that people won't come. It's that you don't let people go.
No lah. Sometimes they also don't bother lah.
So meaning that when you say don't come, you're cake, you're just politely saying no need lah. Then after that you go and tell other devotee that Sifu talk only say on the visit. Then I say don't need, then he really don't come.
No lah, I didn't go around telling all this lah. Now you are telling openly, yeah. So it's not me,
yeah. So, quick thing about this, but never.
Now, you telling me like that, everybody can hear you.
Yeah, I know. I always tell to let the whole world know. Okay, so Alvin, after the 10th, arrange four Xiaopusa plus Sifu, five. Yeah.
Sure. Sounds good. Hey, Quack, send us your address, yeah?
Yeah. Politely declined. Yeah. So we must enforce our care and love for her. Make it mandatory.
Because I'm not used to people doing that's that line. I'm not used to you.
Yeah, that's why we must visit you.
I'm not used to river cover.
Yeah. Don't worry, we will not bring the hippo. We bring all sincere one.
Please, cannot come in, too small.
Yeah, you think Sifu very fat, is it?
No.
No, we take turns.
No, come in, because I lot of things here, okay. I haven't cleared.
We'll settle this later, okay? Okay, then we
Mute yourself.
Okay, then we have Cadell, Xiaofang, Polan, Esther. Is this the same Esther? Oh, this one is a different Esther. Oh, this one is the May Esther, is it? But missing. Then we have Ariel, then we have Esther Tan. Oh, Esther Tan. Then the other is a different Esther. Okay. So let's get started. Today's talk is on the Yogacara teaching. Yeah. So, this Yogacara teaching in Chinese is Wei Shi, also known as Fa Xiang Zhong. Wei Shi Zhong or Fa Xiang Zhong. In the Chinese Mahana canon, it's known as Yu Qie Bu. Yogacara. So in this, in Buddhism, there are various different schools, right? So this is one of the school, and this school is attributed to two main teachers, two main masters. The first is Wu Zuo Pusa, or as my teacher would say, Wu Zao Pusa. So in my mind has always been Wu Zao Pusa. Yeah. So that's a Venerable Asanga. And then his brother, Basbandhu. Yeah. Si Qing Pusa. So Venerable Asanga and Venerable Baspandu. Yeah. So the two of them are attributed to have taught the Yogacara school and expounded the teachings on Mahayana teachings. This occurred about 1,500 over years ago, 1,500 to 1,600, between 4th to 5th century Common Era. For some context, Raffles came to Singapore only 200 years ago. So they are around the time about 1,000 years after the Buddha. And prior to them, there's a Venerable Nagarjuna, who you can say he started the Madhyamika school, the Zhongguan. So as I've shared in some classes before, when the question came up, there's a bit of a background context to how or why this school started. Yeah, so this school advocates the principle or the teaching that our very existence in the world is all but mere consciousness. Yeah, hence the term wei shi. Yeah, and then so in all the various treatises and commentaries, the teachings go about establishing how and why our existence can be distilled down to but just consciousness. And so if it's just consciousness, then it means that the external physical world are also mere expressions of the consciousness. Yeah. For those who are into the sci-fi genre, yeah, then you may find that, isn't this the same as the Matrix? Yeah. But you must know that this school of thought, this teaching actually predates Matrix by a good 1,500 years. The interesting thing is that the idea that this world is but just our mind, our consciousness, is also found in the Western philosophy. Yeah. I think it's Plato who proposed the thought experiment of the man in the cave. Yeah. The idea that if a person from young is brought up in a cave where he cannot move around and all he sees is shadow play on the wall, he wouldn't know better that this world is actually not just black and white, that this world actually has 3D depth. And one day, if one of them of this village who live in the cave were to escape from the cave and see the whole world for what it is, the person going back, yeah, would have difficulty explaining to to the rest that the world actually has depth also and has colors, because the rest has only seen images that is just silhouette, yeah, shadow. Fast forward to, I can't remember which century, there's this, I think, French philosopher, René Descartes. Yeah, so then he proposed this, I think it's him. Sometimes I mix up the name, so correct me. There's this thought experiment of how, given that what we perceive of the world is basically electrical stimulus through the nervous system to the brain. So then, wouldn't it be possible that our existence is basically a brain in a glass vat with probes stimulating the brain, and that there's a scientist or technician, if you will, who is basically feeding the sensors into the brain? Yeah. Yeah. So, and that whatever we perceive through the senses is actually just stimulus. And he says that his thought experiment is that, and it would be indistinguishable between the two. Yeah, meaning that in our case, we believe that you are physically where you are, and you are actually looking at a screen with many people logging on. And then you can hear my voice. I can hear the fan. I don't know whether you all can hear the fan, but I can hear the fan. Yeah, and so on and so forth. You can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. We can think about things. But the his thought experiment is that all this is just mere electrical signals through the nervous system stimulating the brain. And so how it wouldn't be distinguishable, it would be indistinguishable, the way we perceive ourselves compared to a brain in a vat. Yeah. And of course, from both scenarios, especially the brain in the vat, then there's a lot more other philosophical questions, existential questions. One of them, which is very interesting, being, then how do you know that the individuals that you have seen are real individuals and not just stimulus being input to you? Yeah. And in a very almost poetic twist, we are now experiencing Wei Shi. Yeah. We are now experiencing a meta level of mind only. Yeah. We seem to be in the same room looking at each other, but we are not looking at each other. We are looking at each other through our webcam and the screen. Yeah. But do you feel that you are looking at each other? It does feel like we are looking at each other, right? But you do know that there's no little Sifu hiding behind your screen, right? Of course, Sifu, you are always making such ridiculous statements. Yeah. But similarly, now, by extension, then how about our perception of this world? You know? Yeah. So it's very interesting that this school of thought, school of thought in Buddhism, yeah, Wei Shi, actually find some parallel in the other civilizations as well. I'm not an expert in the other schools, but from what little I know, there are some parallel. But when I say parallel, they are not completely identical, because the thought experiment of brain in the back posits that there is a technician outside. Yeah. Posits that there is someone outside of the brain simulation that is feeding in the input. Yeah. In the Yogacara school, the premise is a bit different. Yeah. The premise is there's no one person that is in control of what some grand master plan or master simulation. Yeah. That we are all, in a way, it's like we are all in a common dream. So with that in place, let's go a bit into the precursor to the Yogacara school. According to what I've learned from one of my senior monk in when I was in US, it is that Chidao Pasen. So he shared with me that there are reasons why these different schools came about. And in the case of the Yogacara school, it is post-Madhyamika school, yeah. Or there's some overlap, of course. Or you find that there are a lot of commentaries, Q&A, yeah, between the different schools or so. So it's not as though, oh, there was Madhyamika, then Madhyamika disappeared, then there's Yogacara. No, there's overlap. And in fact, today we are learning Madhyamika and Yogacara. So it's not that they are mutually exclusive. So from what I heard, in the Madhyamika school, we have to go into a bit of why Madhyamika school. So first we have the classical teachings that the Buddha taught 2,500-600 years ago, right? So and then when people come into touch with it, there are people who can understand, who can accept, there are people who can't. Those who can, they learn, practice, and gradually attain arahanthood. Yeah, the first fruit, second fruit, third fruit, up to arahanthood. So far, so good, no problem. But the Buddha was not the only teacher. there were various ascetics, and then there were the Brahmins also. So of all the different schools, they have different opinions about how this world is, and as a result, then they practice differently. But over time, the Buddha's teaching became quite prevalent, quite, in a way, you can say popular. Popular in what sense? Popular in the sense that among the lay community, there are more and more who are drawn to the Buddha and his disciples and their teachings. Yeah. So as a result, they gave more and more support towards the Buddhist monks, and those ascetics of other schools start to not receive more support. So even in the Buddha's time, there were those from other schools who sort of infiltrate into the Sangha in order to make a living. They are not sincere or genuine in learning the Dharma. They just want to learn enough to sort of live like a monk so that they can get alms. But they continue to advocate their own philosophy, their own teachings. And they practice according to their own former teachings. So even in the Buddha's time, this happened. But in the Buddha's time, when any of the monks propose their own deviant view, the Buddha is able to be the arbiter to step in and say, no, this is not what I taught. Yeah, like where do you get that from, you know? Yeah, but post the Buddha's time, yeah, after teaching for 80 years, 45 years, sorry, he lived up to 80 years old. He didn't start teaching at childbirth. So after 45 years, he entered Parinibbana. And so after that, there's consolidation of the teachings into the first two of the Pitaka. And then the Sangha continue, expounding the teachings. Then by the time it was Nagarjuna's period, there were those who start to advocate the two extreme view of eternalism and nihilism, yeah, grasping on to existence and grasping on to non-existence, on the extreme views. So the Madhyamika school, Venerable Nagarjuna, basically bring out the core essence of dependent arising and emptiness that is found in the Pali Canon, that's found in the Buddha's teaching, to refute these members, yeah, who are advocating twisted form of the teachings. Yeah, twisted form of the teachings. And then in a way, okay, all is well. Yeah. So dependent arising, empty in nature. Then fast forward a while later, by the time Venerable Asanga and Venerable Vaspandu came about, some of these proponents of emptiness start to take it to the logical extremities. Yeah, but it is not that it is a proper logical extremities, but it is that they misconstrue the teaching on emptiness, taking emptiness as non-existence and not the non-existence of inherentness, characteristic, but instead just pure non-existence. So then they say, since all things are empty, then karma is empty also. If karma is empty, then the result is also empty. Then in that case, if I were to kill somebody, then there's no results. So then that violates ethics and morality. Yeah. So, of course, important thing to note is, it is not the fault of the Madhyamika school. It is not that Madhyamika school advocate this. It is that they have reached a wrong understanding of emptiness. So in the Yogacara school, one of the key refutation, yeah, statement is that is er qi kong, yeah, er, san er de er, qi, qi zao de qi, kong, kong yi de kong, yeah. So it means it's incorrect, the wrong grasping of emptiness. Yeah, so you misunderstand emptiness. You think that emptiness means voidness, that it means nothingness, but it's not. It is not that because since karma is empty, then there's no results. No, it is precisely because karma is empty in nature that that's why there's results. Yeah, because emptiness doesn't mean nothing exists. It does mean something exists, just that it doesn't exist the way we think. That we think is independent existence, no, that doesn't exist. So that being the case, how does the Yogacara school establish that that is the case? So in various commentaries, the two main commentaries that our lineage focuses on is the Mahayana Sangraha and also the Yogacara Bodhisattva. Oh, so these are two main ones that we my teacher teach in terms of the Yogacara school. There are others also. Oh, so like Wei Shi San Shi Song, yeah, the 30 verses treatise. Yeah, there's also the Abhidhamma Chi Shi Lun, yeah, Abhidhamma Kosa, among others. Then there's Leng Qie Jing, yeah, then there's Xin Yang Sheng Jiao, and so on and so forth. Oh, so there are many other texts. So within those, one of the key things that stand out is the establishment of the eighth consciousness. Yeah. So in today's topic, in the description, it says to understand the three characteristics, the eight types of consciousness. You know, and most importantly, how do we apply it in our lives? Or is it something just simply so profound that we cannot understand? Yeah. So here we come into the establishment of some key principles that is somewhat unique to the Yogacara school. While we say that, while we know that it is unique to the Yogacara school, today in certain traditions, it is almost like the norm. Yeah. For example, you will find that it's quite common to hear various venerables talk about the mind stream, right? Yeah. We'll talk about karmic seeds. But the interesting thing is, many people wrongly conclude that the idea of karmic seeds is the Yogacara creation. Yeah, that, oh, the later school come up with this idea of karmic seeds. But if you look at the Anguttara Nikaya, Book 3, there is a sutta, among others, where the Buddha used the analogy of seeds. Yeah. And if you were to go through enough of the commentaries, from the Mahayana schools, then you will find that all the schools have some basis in the agamas, in the Nikayas. In this case, the Yogacara schools basis for alaya seeds, yeah, consciousness, has basis in the Pali Canon also. So what is this alaya consciousness? First, in the classical teachings, when I say classical teachings, I'm referring to the Pali text, oh, yeah. I think it's better to be clear about it this way, because you can find the Sanskrit equivalent agamas in the Chinese Mahayana canon also. Yeah. So instead of saying this is Theravada teaching, basically this is the classical teaching, so yeah, because in the Mahayana tradition, this is also recognized. So within the Pali Canon, the classical teachings, there is mention of six different kind of consciousness. Six different kind, right? What are they? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and the mind. Yeah. Through these six sense bases, then it can give rise to the six different consciousness. Yeah. Eyes with the physical form, visible form, ears, audible sound, smell, nose with the smell, tongue with the taste, and then body with the touch, mind with mental objects. Yeah. So these are known as the 12 bases, external and internal. Internal, eyes, nose, tongue, body, and mind. External, form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and mental objects. So 根跟净, yeah. So the two as a basis, yeah, sense base, sense object as a basis, then consciousness arise. So consciousness is basically the functioning of the mind. Yeah. It's basically the awareness that arises, the mental awareness that arises, yeah, dependent on the sense base. And by virtue of that, it is named after the sense base. So where there is visual awareness, visual consciousness of visible things, then we call that eye consciousness. Where there is auditorial consciousness, yeah, based on the ear consciousness of sound, then we call it ear consciousness, and so on. Yeah, so based on the sense base, then we call the consciousness. Oh. So far, so good. Then in the Yogacara school, it establishes further the seventh and the eighth consciousness. Yeah. So seventh consciousness is interesting because seventh consciousness is basically the mind, yeah, which is the sense base of the sixth, yeah, sixth consciousness. Because we have sixth consciousness, and then in the Yogacara school, the mind itself is established as the seventh consciousness. So it's also consciousness. Yeah. So it's not separately mind, it's also consciousness. And then the relationship between the seven and the six is, number six is like a what? It's like a free agent, yeah? It's free to do wholesome, it's free to do unwholesome, free to do neither wholesome nor unwholesome. But it has a good friend, the mind. The mind is the corrupted one, yeah? So the mind will come and chuchok the sixth consciousness to like this, like that, like this, like that. Yeah. So in the Yogacara school, the delusional grasping link to the wrong view of itself is linked to number seven. Yeah. So far so good, 1 to 7. So then from there, when we interact with the world through the five senses, our awareness, our mental function is actually very mild, very subtle. Yeah, it's still called consciousness, but the functioning is very raw, very subtle. So we, in Chinese, we call this liao bie. Oh, yeah. English, we can roughly say this is a raw form of cognition. It's still cognition, but very raw, yeah. Or sometimes we call it bare awareness, yeah. So it's just some awareness. So for example, in the Heart Sutra class, I often give this example, yeah. Our eyes actually don't read things. Our eyes also don't directly see things. We are just able to be aware of colors, yeah. And even when we are aware of colors, we are not able to give it a name. The naming comes from what? Comes from our mind. Give you an example. Usually I give the example of writing something. So today I give it a slight twist. So for example, what is this? It's called red packet. Yeah. Why is it called red packet? Because red ma, sorry, but yellow, here got yellow. Accidentally point at the yellow spot, then red ma. Yeah, nowadays very colorful. So, yeah, I turn this side so that I don't accidentally give product placement. Yeah, so like that, can see or not? Cannot, like that. Anyway, so we call it red packet. And everybody agrees red packet, right? Yeah. But if you ask Amor, who has no idea of Chinese culture, what do you think you will call it? They may not give it a particular name, red packet also, right? They may just say, I don't know, is this an envelope or something? Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind, although they see red, but they may not call it red also. They will wonder how to call it, you know? Yeah. So for that matter, among all of us, what is this color? Make sure I point to the right thing.
Red.
Red, right? Yeah. But how? What is it in Hokkien? That's why it's called ang pao. Ang pao. Ang pao. Ang comes from this. Yeah. Chinese is hong pao. Cantonese? Hong pao, huh? I always assume, you know, Teochew is a slightly more attenuated form of Hokkien than Cantonese, sometimes attenuated of the Mandarin, Hong pao, then sometimes anyhow pronounced. So Japanese is, I don't know how to say pao, but I think it's akai, right? Yeah, red is, I think, akai. Yeah. So depending on how your mind discriminates, then you call it different names. And that's why when a small kid is old, you know, old enough to know that they are receiving this, then they may ask, Mommy, what is this? Ang pao, huh? Sukukya. This is ang pao. So depending on what dialect group, you'll teach your kid the different way of saying it. Yeah, so many layers here. Yeah. Our eyes itself doesn't have any name for this. The name is sort of given by the mind. But the mind also don't have a name for it, actually. The mind is taught, yeah, what name it is. Yeah. I'm sure there's some parallel in Western theory of knowledge. Yeah, how we get knowledge of things. Yeah. I think there's some theory about it also. Yeah. But from this, it's also a bridge to the Madhyamika school. Yeah. Ang pao is not ang pao. That's why, and it's only called ang pao. So eyes, nose, tongue, body, the first five consciousness all have these similar traits. Similar in the sense that it's only able to be aware, yeah, and through that awareness, present a concept, present an image. When I say image, it's not mere visual. So it's a bit hard to describe this. The closest, in Chinese, it's called xiang. And xiang is closest described as an image. But in Chinese context, xiang is not just visual. Yeah, the primary is visual, but sound is also presented as a xiang. Yeah, everything is xiang. Okay. So far so good. Yeah. So through the senses, the first five senses, then a certain xiang is presented. In Wei Shi, in Yogacara school, we call it Shi Yi Xian Xian. Yeah. So Shi Yi, similar to the meaning. Yeah. The Yi represents, is talking about the actuality, the reality. Shi Yi. This, why is it using the word Yi? Because the concepts, the image that we have is described as Ming Yan, is described as words that the mind use. Yeah, but it's not simply the written form. It's the language that the mind use. Okay, and so language is the nen quan, then the meaning is the suo quan. So language, words point to something, right? So our concepts in our mind, the image in our mind point to something. Yeah. So when you see this in your mind, you see an ang pao appear. The ang pao is pointing to this ang pao. But now, very good. The ang pao you see on the screen is not the same ang pao as this one. Although when I wave, you see it wave. But very good, you know, Zoom is such a good teaching tool for yoga. Because when I wave, right, you really think that I'm waving. But if there's a lag, I stop waving, yours is still waving, you know. So from this, you know that it's two different ones, right? Or sometimes hang, right? Then you see Sifu, But actually, I'm still talking. My mouth is not moving at all. How come? How come I? My ventriculism is not very good. Yeah. So, but it's not just Zoom. Yoga Trial School is saying that our perception of this world is like that. You know? So the image in your mind is the so-called language of the mind, and it's pointing to what is outside. I use ang pao as an easy reference. So the ang pao in your mind is pointing to the ang pao outside. But the ang pao is only si yi. Yeah, si, xiang si de si. The ang pao in your mind is only similar to the ang pao outside. The ang pao outside here have money. Your ang pao inside there, in your mind, no money. But even if I take out the money that you see cannot be used. The money in your mind cannot be used. This one can be used. But in Yukasha, later we'll look at whether this money has any essence or so. No essence or so. Oh, but back to the ang pao. So, so far so good. So the ang pao in your mind is only xian xian. Yeah. So the moment your consciousness come in contact, then in your mind appear an ang pao. That appearance of an ang pao is similar to what is outside. So far so good. Then the trouble comes. Our sixth consciousness discriminating factor will induce the seven consciousness discriminating factor will induce number six to go and wrongly grasp on to this 四意显现, yeah, 此为实有, to grasp on to it and think that the ang pao in the mind is a real ang pao. Yeah. So we call this 虚妄分别. So the falsehood discrimination, 虚妄分别. And because of this 虚妄分别, the 四意显现 become 骗计所知. So we end up grasping onto all the similar appearance as real. So this is the 骗计所知 here, ubiquitous grasping onto the arisen image. Yeah, that is similar to the thing outside, but actually it's not real. But we grasp onto it as real. So this is the first of the three characteristics. Sanzixing. This is the 骗计所知性. Our ubiquitous grasping. Yeah. Just very very naturally, whatever you see, hear, smell, touch, taste, touch, or think about, you grasp onto it as real. So there's two layers here. Two categories here. One is through our first five senses, you see things, right? And then you grasp onto it as real. Whether the ang pao outside is real or not, that's another thing. But the ang pao inside of mind is definitely not real. This part is easy to understand. But then there's another category, which is we grasp onto what is in our mind. Yeah, because the mind can think about the past, you can think about the future, you can also think about the present and present another layer. Yeah, like now there's ang pao, now there's no ang pao. You can continue, even though Sifu stop weaving the ang pao, you can continue to think about ang pao. Yeah, or you can think about the ang pao that you have received in the past. Or you can think about the ang pao that you are going to receive. And it can feel very real also. Do you agree that it can feel very real? Can. That's why you get excited over the upcoming bonus, if you're going to get bonus. Yeah? Or you can get disappointed if you hear that bonus is not going to be very good. You haven't even received it. But you get disappointed already. You know? Yeah? So, from even just at this point, you can see how our inability to know clearly that whether it is real or not real can have dire consequences on our mental well-being. So don't even talk about or want to be enlightened, go and liberate the whole world. Our mental, emotional well-being, yeah, is easily affected. Yeah, just because of this grasping, thinking that it's real. Yeah. But you think about it, at least if I wave the angpao now, at least you can say that there's an external angpao that's real. Yeah. So but if now there's no angpao, you think argue worse. Yeah. So far so good. But why is it that we have this wrong grasping? So number six. Yeah, number six consciousness. Just now we mentioned the first five consciousness only have bare awareness, the bare cognition. Yeah, so liao bie. The sixth consciousness also do that. It is also able to be aware. But it has superpower. The first five consciousness, they are segregated. The eye is only able to be aware of visual form, the ear of audible sound, and so on. Yeah, but the mind is like a superhero. Yeah, or he's like the manager, the boss. Yeah, the account manager only in charge of each account. Yeah, whereas the what you call it, the department head, he can have access to all the accounts anytime he wants. Yeah. So number six is also the lao da. The lao da. So in terms of awareness, he can be aware of any of the six also. So in the Yogacara school or in the various schools, there are two divergent opinion. One is the duo shi lun, one is the yi shi lun. Yeah, and this is before Yogacara actually. Yeah. In between the Buddha's time and later school, yeah, there is this notion that actually is aware of visual form, we call it eye consciousness, but it's the same. Then there is the other proponent, which is, no, no, there are six different ones. So some students ask, so is it six or is it one? The way I look at it is like this. Say now you're at home, right? You're at home. Some of you are, some of you are not. Like Siu Yin and Xiao Fang is at the Buddhist library. So now if I ask you, where are you? Then rightly speaking, some of you will say, we are at home. Some of you will say, I'm at the Buddhist library. Yeah. Some of you will say, I'm outside. But if I were to say, exactly where are you at home? Then you may say, I'm in the living room, I'm in the bedroom, I'm in the toilet. Some of you like to attend Dharma class in the toilet. Or in the case of Xiao Fang and Siu Yin, you all may say, I'm at the library side of the Buddhist library, right? So you can go more granular or you can go more brief and generic. Yeah. But even when you say that you are in the living room, when you say that you are at home in the bedroom, are you at home or not? You're still at home, right? Yeah, it's just that depending on the function of the room, then you give it a different name. But you're still at home. It's not that suddenly you're outside. So in that way, we can say that the living room is part of the home, yeah, part of the house, yeah, but yet it's a specific part. Similarly, we can say that it's actually but one consciousness, but it is a specific function of the consciousness. So then no issue whether it's more many multiple or singular. So far so good. Then number six consciousness has further functions. It can discriminate. It can discriminate, it can label, it can do a lot of things. Yeah. So one of the key function is to discriminate, and to discriminate it labels. Meaning 善于与分别, yeah, 名字为义, yeah, so 第六意识, yeah, is able to 分别. So to 分别, then you must have 名言安立. So you must be able to, in a way, you can say that the two are the same. You give it a name, then it means you are discriminating. You don't give it a name, then not discriminating. You can also say that only when you can give it a name, then you can discriminate. If you have no name, then you can't discriminate. And so in the Yogacara school, we say that in terms of interaction with the external world, the first five consciousness, first be aware, presents the similar image in our mind. And then the sixth consciousness discriminate, give it a name. And then grasp onto the name of the image as the real thing. Yeah. Give it a name and then grasp onto this compound and say, this is the real thing. This is real. This is independently existent. So in brief, this is the function up to the sixth consciousness. And of course, seven we touched earlier. So as we go about in our daily life, we encounter different things. And then we give it different names. And depending on how the names we give it, then we may discriminate it to be good, bad, or ugly. Yeah. And we may then further discriminate to be pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And from there, then we may give rise to all the different default states. Yeah. At some point, through the discrimination, we may then also act. Or start to act. So at the point when we start to act, then we plant seeds. So this is still the classical teaching. Yeah, the discrimination, the intent, we act. Yeah, then you plant seeds. But in the Yogacara school, it says that the first seven consciousness all plant seeds. All of them plant seeds. Plant into some part of our consciousness, again consciousness. But the main person that is heavily planting seeds is number six. Planting seeds is number six. Oh. So previously, some students have asked, how do we purify the eight consciousness? How can we contemplate the eight consciousness and then transform that into the ultimate reality? In the Yogacara school, the only way we can do is work on number six. Because the first five cannot discriminate. It's just awareness. In some Zen tradition, that state of bare awareness is being given an equivalence to an enlightened state. So in our tradition, we don't say that is an enlightened state. The first five consciousness only bare awareness, right? So but we say that there's latent. There's latent, dormant ignorance. So while we are not actively having greed, hatred, delusion, but there's dormant ignorance that is present. So the key part that we can work on is number six. And depending on whether you subscribe to the earlier view, if you subscribe to the view that five consciousness is pure, then you may think, all we have to do is shut down number six. Then we attain enlightenment. But in the tradition that I'm training, and if you look at the various commentaries and the sutras, if you manage to so-called shut down number six, purify it to the point where it doesn't have any kind of that kind of discrimination, or rather, you just abide on the first five consciousness, that is just samadhi, in a way. A form of samadhi. But then again, in samadhi, the first five consciousness shut down. So back to the sixth consciousness. So sixth consciousness, or we can say the first seven consciousness, all plant seeds in the consciousness, in the mind. But which part of the mind? So we, by right, actually no name also. For example, in your house, Why is your living room called the living room? Have you all thought about it? Is the living room really living room? If you sleep in the living room, then does it make it a bedroom? Doesn't make it bedroom. No, Sifu, according to the gazetted URA gazette, that part is, you know, under URA floor plan. So that means that they cannot change it. Can you redo it and then submit to URA and then reclassify it? This is the bedroom and make one of the bedroom the living room, can or not? Can it's not fixed one for Yeah, is the kitchen really the kitchen? Why is the kitchen? What is the kitchen for? What defines a kitchen? The place that you cook, right? Is it also the place that you eat your dinner? By right, it's not, you know. Kitchen is supposed to be just for cooking, right? But traditionally, in many HDB flat, kitchen combine the dining area inside. So from this, we know that kitchen is not kitchen. It's just called kitchen. And nowadays, the kitchen is so small. How to cook? Sifu, we don't cook anyway. No, then May will like, no, Sifu, I still cook. Vicky will like, how dare you say we don't cook? We cook and show you. So before anybody leave into the house, before TOP, nobody is living in the living room. Nobody is sleeping in the bedroom. Nobody is cooking in the kitchen. Nobody is shitting in the toilet. Does it make it less of a toilet if no one is shitting? But Sifu, there is a toilet bowl. So before they install the toilet bowl, is it a toilet? Rightly speaking, also not toilet now. Then last time toilet, no toilet bowl, only that thing. Then is it a toilet? Then if you have a toilet that only have urinal, then is it not a toilet? Still a toilet, right? Last time you just have to have a drainage hole, that's a toilet. You can just pee inside, that's a toilet. Yeah. So actually a lot of Buddhist teaching points to this. Yeah. Even in the Yoga Tra school itself, it clearly states all this is unlead. It's just established as such. So it is planted in the mind, but which part of the mind? For your convenience, we give it a name. Yeah. So call it 8 consciousness. Why not call it 9 consciousness? Because the last was 6, then 7 ma. Yeah. If in the past, if they recognize decimal point, they will say 6.1, 6.2, 6.3. Yeah. In a way, luckily, then at least we just say 8 consciousness, not 6.3 consciousness. Then say, how about 6.25? So even when we translate the Yoga Dharam Visapsara with my Dharma brother, right? Actually, we sometimes translate until we blur. They're like the same term in different part of the commentary have different meanings. Sometimes one paragraph after the other, the same term re-established as another meaning. It's also having this meaning. Yeah, send it. One of the thought that come to mind is I told my Dharma brother, maybe this teaching is trying to tell you. Yeah, your perplexity comes because you grasp onto the meaning as real. Even the meaning in this text is just established. Which part of it don't you understand? This is not a joke, or this is not just a spin-off. You think about it, in one of the simile, the Buddha talked about non-grasping of the Dharma, right? Fa sang ying se he kong fei fa. This is found both in the Dhamma Sutra and in the Nikayas, Pali Canon, right? And for the longest time, I'm thinking like, why must the Buddha highlight this? Like, if a person can reach the other shore, why would the person grasp on to words? There are actually two angles to it. One is that if you cross over to the other side, you shouldn't grasp onto it. The other thing is that if you grasp onto the Dharma, the words, you cannot cross over also. Yeah. And so sometimes do you find that you get stuck with, hey, how come this text, they use this term, but the other teacher used the other term, like, you know? Of course, if the two terms have radically two different meanings, and especially if it's opposing, then there better be a good reason for it, like. Yeah, but otherwise, Dharma is also established. Yeah, those are unleaded. Yeah, so this is especially true in the Yogacara teachings. Yeah, trying to drill this into us. Because that's the very fundamental of our mental constructs. That our mind is the number one scriptwriter, director, producer, everything. It established, yeah, very spontaneously, give it names, all kinds of names. Don't know what name, go and ask. Then after that, oh yes, this is called this, there is called that. Then the next time someone come and say, oh, this is A. No, this is B. No, I heard that it's A. No, it's B. Sifu said it's B. No, I heard Sifu say it's A. No end to it. How much of our conflict with people is because of the way we think something is this or is that, you know? Yeah. So back to the alaya consciousness. So we call it alaya consciousness. Yeah, it's it consciousness. There was one lunch I had. There was one lunch, I think, some months back. I think it was supposed to be for Chinese New Year. Yeah. And then it was quite funny because I'm quite simple-minded. People say have lunch, I just go and have lunch. I never think that there's going to be some Dharma discussion or what. It's all venerables. And suddenly happened to talk about some of the teachings. And then one of them, then they started talking about how actually alaya don't mean storage. Then I'm like, is it? All the while we always say it means storage. Right? Then later I think, yeah, maybe originally doesn't mean storage, but it probably has some meaning linked to it. But most importantly, throughout the Pali canon itself, there are many times the Buddha re-established meaning to words. Yeah. This is a very, very crucial aspect of Buddhism from day one. Yeah. The Buddha oftentimes inject new meaning to existing words, or new angles that maybe people don't realize. For example, the term nirvana, nirodha, it actually doesn't have the meaning we think, or cessation of suffering. That by itself doesn't have that meaning, you know. Do you know that? By itself, it just means extinguishing. So the Buddha was using it as a metaphor of extinguishing of the fire of defilements, the fire of craving and clinging, and hence then suffering ceased. Yeah. But then after a while, we grasp onto these words as the immutable truth, yeah, that is supposed to be called nirvana. Yeah. So then you have Pali scholar and Sanskrit scholar fighting over whether it should be called nirvana or nibbana, or should it be pronounced as nirvana. Yeah. Do you know that Buddha is not Buddha, it's supposed to be Buddha. And Dharma is not supposed to be Dharma, it's supposed to be Dharma. Yeah. For the longest time, I went Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Then there was someone who then highlighted to me that it's supposed to be Dharma. That the H has that guttural, that sound, you know. So how if whenever you recite Buddhang Saranam Gacchami, you pronounce wrongly, then you are taking refuge in the wrong thing. Then Dhamma. Then how about Chinese? 智归佛, totally different sound. All established. Most importantly, established to do what? It's established to highlight something. that we go back to the earlier part, yeah, that there were those who think since emptiness, then no karma. So establish up to this point and say there is the alaya consciousness with the seeds that is planted when you do things. So you cannot say that there's no results. There is results. Yeah, there is results. The thing that is insubstantial is your discrimination. The thing that is insubstantial is the okay, Ken, yes, you all may take leave. So our two sisters, they are going to represent the dana giver to go to do dana offering to Bhante Ratana Sara and to request Bhante Dhamma, Bhante Ratana Sara, Bhante Dhamma Ratana, Bhante Ratana Sara to give teachings for the October, for SGC October. Yeah. So every month we invite one external venerable to give teachings. So you must take the chance to learn, you know. Okay, so please take leave. Have a safe trip. Remember to keep safe distancing. Remember to check out our Buddhist library. Yeah, the counter staff told me there was one time I almost forget to check out. Then she said, don't worry, a lot of people stay over at the Buddhist library. Not that they stay over, but because they check in, never check out. So it's as though they stay for many days. So this alaya consciousness is in a way a core feature of the, a key feature, a core feature in the Yogacara school. So its function is storage of the of the seeds, and then it maintains the seed, and from the seeds it maintains the first seven consciousness. Yeah. So there's this this I'm not sure whether symbiotic is relevant here. Yeah, but the eighth consciousness depend on the first seven consciousness to plant seeds, and the first seven consciousness depends on the eighth consciousness to manifest. Yeah, so it is a loop. It is a loop. The first seven consciousness is also known by another name, Qian Qi Zhuan Shi. And this word Zhuan, you have no idea how many times me and my Dharma brother, we cannot Zhuan by this word. We choose, we think, maybe we use this word. Then after a few months later, actually this word a bit odd. Then, okay, change. Then after a few years later, this word, maybe not so suitable. So we went through turning, 转嘛. We went through active. We went through transforming. We went through a lot of different formulation. We look at different texts, different dictionary, the Sanskrit dictionary. We look at the Chinese dictionary, we look at Fasiang Zi, we look at, yeah. So it has many, actually it has many meanings. So we can roughly say the Qian Qi Zhuan Shi refers to this seven consciousness that it is active, it is arising, and it can, it is able to transform. Able to transform. I remember one phrase says that it's able to help sentient beings transform from unenlightened to enlightened. But it's not a definite thing. Don't think, since that's okay, we'll just sit around wait for it to transform. No. Yeah. But it just has that function. Zhuan also have the meaning of 活动. That means it's the active form. As opposed to what? As opposed to it consciousness. So if consciousness is for the most part considered a dormant portion of the consciousness. But dormant, but not dormant also. Yeah, because it's actively manifesting the first seven consciousness. Yeah. But the besides the part that is manifesting, it still contains many seeds that is dormant. Oh. So the seeds are also described using another analogy, which is Xin Ran or Xin Si. So the word Xin, in many texts, it is translated as perfume. You know, perfume? Psh, 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 psh. yeah, perfume. Yeah. So the analogy goes, it's just like if you have a piece of cloth, yeah, that's hanging, and then a certain distance away, you burn incense. So today you burn, tomorrow you burn. And over time, that piece of cloth would have the smell, the scent of the incense. Even when you are not burning and you remove the incense, the cloth would have that smell already. Yeah, so it's being perfumed. Yeah. So this is the analogy found in the, I think you got in the Mahayana Sangraha, Sirdha Sanlun, Xun Si. So, 前七转是熏习种子，种子生现行. So the seeds then give rise to the seven consciousness. So they have this mutual dependency relationship. What else? So then the question is, knowing all this, just now we talked about three characteristics, we only talked about the first one. So knowing all this, what can we do? What can we do with this knowledge? The ultimate goal is attainment of enlightenment. And the attainment of enlightenment found that is described in the Yogacara school, don't be mistaken. A lot of people think that, oh, the different school have different teaching, so the path is different. All the schools, yes, in the classical teaching, focus is on anicca, dukkha, anatta, right? Yeah. Then in the Madhyamika school, dependent arising, emptiness in nature, yeah, or non-inherentness, no self nature. Then the Yogacara school, Yogacara school is Mingyan Anli Da Yichie Fa Dou Shi Bi Ting Kong. There are a few phrases. One of them is this. Yeah, that whatever is established through names has no substantiality. So Shi Wang Wei Shi, that it is illusory, is insubstantial, but mere consciousness. So seems to be different, right? But you must know, this is above and on top of the Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot just learn Heart Sutra and then just run with it without the Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot just say, oh, I learned the emptiness, then I don't have to practice precepts, samadhi, and development of wisdom. I just develop wisdom. Because all this teaching is about the wisdom part. Right? Similarly, in the Nikaya, you cannot just say, oh, anicca, dukkha, anatta, then I don't have to observe precepts. I don't have to meditate. No, you don't do that, right? When you learn anicca, dukkha, anatta, yeah, impermanent, suffering, no self, you still have to practice the Noble Eightfold Path, right? This anicca, dukkha, anatta, where does it come in? It comes in at all areas also. Yeah, but mainly on the right view portion. Yeah, mainly on the right view portion. Yeah. So similarly, when you learn about emptiness, when you learn about the Yogacara teaching, where do you plug it in? You plug it into the right view portion. Yeah. It helps you to look at things differently. Yeah. And then as you practice, then you verify whether that is the case. So then how do you verify in the case of Yogacara school? So my teacher's approach is, for a start, try this first. So first step, try to see that all the things that we see are just names that is established. First step, yeah. anything that you can think of is just established true names. Now think about it. Think of someone you like. But don't use any names. Don't use any descriptor at all. Are you able to think of that person? Blank. Think of your favorite food. Can you think of your favorite food without any names, any concepts? Cannot. So everything is just established through names. Yeah. Now, of course, if you go further, then there are some subtle nuances inside out. But for the sake of today's session, let's just go with this first. Then we say names, second part, names has no substantiality. Yeah. 名言安立的一切法, 是无体性的, 是毕竟空, so it has no substance. Then in the Mahana Sangraha, then there's a few examples given. When you say water, it doesn't quench your thirst. When you hear